Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is National Savings Brotherhood. This is a random person. Well, Brother Cohes, Brother Kufi, you know, he's online with us. Say hello, brother.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
I'm trying to make sure that we can be also 24 hours out. If you can, what our purpose or anything, please free to call us at 1-800-900 to support the radio station comes out every way as possible. So if you can, please. Any question?
I don't know if you can hear me, brother. Brother Alfred, you were breaking up kind of bad on there. I was trying to text you.
Okay, everybody, listen. What we're trying to do right now is basically get into the whole issue of talking about law. A lot of times when we get out in these streets, we are not in tuned into the law or the rules or regulations in our area. Like when I am upset at my wife, or if I've been in lockdown with the coronavirus for 2 or 3 months, and things are starting to get a little bit hectic, okay? You know, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about those kind of issues. We appreciate your time, patience, and I think our guest host is Brother Jonathan. We'll call him Brother Jonathan. Is on the air, and we want to appreciate him and give him our SF welcome by saying,
Papa.
We always say, and let's bring
Hi,
him
Brother
on.
Alfred. How are you?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I cannot complain. The weather is nice up here in Portland, Maine.
Well, yeah. I know it's trying to get it because, you know, my lady, I know Kofi, you know, and trying to get everybody to connect on in. The law of the land. You're a DA, you deal with issues. Everything that we'll talk to you, maybe you know, go through the Constitution. There's a few things that you can give us, you know, as far as etiquette, too, and also projects that you might be doing on your own personal to try to, you know, on your I know it is older, so we ain't facing you in the courtroom. So what I want to first ask you, sir, if you can you build a history of yourself? You go to school? Are you married? Do you have children? I mean, this is information that people know who you are.
Sure, Brother Alfred. I have been having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but I think I heard the last part of your question. A little bit of background myself. I was born and raised here in Cumberland County, and I went to college down in Connecticut and law school down in Washington, D.C., and worked as a prosecutor in Massachusetts, and came back to Maine in 2012 and worked as a prosecutor here, and then 2016 worked in Cumberland County as an assistant DA, and then was elected to be DA in 2018. So I started my term in January of 2019. The role of the prosecutor, as I'm sure some people are aware but others aren't, is that basically we are the entity that represents the state of Maine in criminal prosecution. So when it's alleged that somebody has broken the law, that the legislature has deemed sort of what's right and what's wrong within our society, it is our job as the prosecutors to basically bring a case against somebody. And what criminal prosecution used to be and what to me it is today is a lot different than it had been 20, 30 years ago. Right now we are in a situation where we are dealing with numerous social issues going on in the criminal justice system that we try our best to address properly, so we can reduce recidivism and basically get a defendant to be in a situation where they're better off than they were when they walked into the courtroom. A lot of what we do is diversion from the criminal justice system. We try to get into a situation where we're going to put somebody into some sort of treatment or get them the resources that they need to, like I say, put them in a better situation than they were when they had an encounter with law enforcement. So it's a kind of a new way to do prosecution and hopefully get somebody in the, on the right path, that they don't come back into the criminal justice system. That's the ideal solution that we'd come up with if somebody was involved with the courts.
Okay. All right. Well, what I wanted to ask you, since you, like you're talking, you're dealing with civil rights issues more and more on a majority of your time right now, when dealing with the police department or you're dealing with the issue of domestic abuse or any of that, well, let's start with that, about the domestic abuse. Have you, since the coronavirus has hit, or within the past 3 to 4 months, have you seen an increase of domestic violence in cases coming on your desk?
So I wouldn't say that we've seen an increase in domestic violence cases, but that doesn't always mean that there hasn't been a situation where you're seeing a lot of domestic violence. When it comes to domestic violence, it's about reporting as opposed to what's actually happening. And the pandemic, when it really hit, it was very scary to me for many reasons, but one of them was that I thought that there was going to be a situation where we might see increased domestic abuse. And it's basically because we're in a situation where there are added stresses, not just at home, but with what's happening with the economy, with people being out of work, with people sort of being scared, what's happening with the unknown, with people getting sick. And but we have not seen a huge influx when it comes to the people coming into the criminal justice system. But what the domestic violence really comes down to is really power and control. And when you have a situation where a person is under the control of another individual and they can't get out from underneath that, like a situation when you're in, when people are in quarantine, then they might not have the resources to be able to reach out to law enforcement or to reach out to advocates to try to get them the help that they need. And so they might be actually trapped in a situation. So that's a concern that we have. And so just because if we haven't seen an increase in domestic violence, that doesn't mean in domestic violence cases, that does not really mean that there hasn't been an increase in domestic violence.
Okay, well, you know, we've noticed, we've gotten reports from CNN. We also have gotten reports from a lot of sources are saying because even the spiritual leaders, and I don't know if you agree with this, but they're saying because people are starting to notice who they married to or who they living with a little bit more because they're at home at more. And the pressure is constantly increasing where they're now making decisions. I don't want to be with this person. So, you know, I see that what is going on is that people are now increasing on divorce or thinking of separation issues. Talk about family stress, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. That, you know, that's an example where they had to separate. We've seen on a broad scale, on a consistent basis, from a legal standpoint, I think it's more of an increase. It's the main, about to split. And it's affecting a lot of our folks, you know, we want to remember.
Brother Alfred, I don't know if I'm still on, but I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Brother Alfred, we're having a little bit of time being able to hear you, but it sounds like you were speaking along the lines of because of certain things that are going on in our community, and as you get your sound back, Brother Alfred, you know, feel free to jump back on, but I'm just filling in while we're having a little technical difficulty. Thank you guys for hanging in there. This is Kofi here. And we're with our guest. If you don't mind, if you can just introduce your name real quick one more time for us.
Sure, it's Jonathan Sarbeck.
Okay. You mind if I call you Jonathan? I know you're a DA, so sometimes title is big.
Oh, no.
Do you mind if we just... Okay.
Definitely.
All right. So,
call me Jonathan.
And once again... Oh, okay, cool. Oh, John? Okay, cool. And so, John, you know, I think he was talking more so like you see in the community so many different things that are happening, so many aspects, so many things that can be frustrating. You know, people are in situations that they've never been in before. And, you know, you did bring up the point that domestic violence, you know, is an issue and nobody really knows. Domestic violence, if I can just put a little bit on this as well, it's very interesting. I hate to say interesting because it's not good, right? But it is a very interesting topic of discussion because, you know, so much domestic violence is not presented. Sometimes it's brought up, but then when it's brought up, it's not it's something that somebody will step back from, whether they be male or female, because they want to protect the other party. A lot of males don't even talk about domestic violence because we've been taught that it makes you to be lesser than, you know, you'll be a punk or something along those lines. And so when we're talking about these different things going on with a lot of procedures going on, one thing that intrigues me from what you were talking about is that you and others are trying to change the way the system is. You know, and I'll be honest, I'm very skeptical of that type of change because I don't feel like trying to change it from within even works because of what's been shown over hundreds of years. But, you know, I'm always intrigued when somebody who works in the system is talking about it. So one question I would bring before you is what are some of the things, and maybe it's not something you deal with personally because I guess as a lawyer you're dealing with kind of the after effects of the crime being committed. But maybe what are some of the things or programs we should look into to get people who are skeptical like myself? What are some of the things that you would tell us to look at as far as programs that are trying to help not just to have people not come back, you know, once their Social Security number or whatever is kind of already in the system, you know, but what are some things that we're trying to get that person to deal with or families maybe to deal with that maybe are like a preemptive strike, so to speak?
Yeah, no, one of the things that I always talk about and I think that we need to as a community really discuss a lot more is prevention. Prevention is a huge aspect of what we don't deal with enough and don't utilize enough as a community in order to keep people out of the criminal justice system. Prevention to me is not just along the lines of substance use disorder and addiction. It's actually things that you can talk about as a community. Most importantly, I think, is with adverse childhood experiences. Adverse childhood experiences are new studies that have really kind of come out in the last years, but something that we've kind of always known exists within our community, that when bad, sustained trauma happens to a young child, that it really actually physically alters their brain chemistry. And when it physically alters their brain chemistry, it leads into what can be basically a situation in the future that doesn't really come up until adulthood, which makes them more susceptible to using substances, using drugs, to violence. And if we as a community really understood that and really kind of stepped up and protected our children in numerous different ways, they might be in a situation where they don't have those adverse childhood experiences that really can affect somebody. And what people don't realize with adverse childhood experiences is that they can come down to a kid who grows up in poverty or has food insecurity or deals with racism or deals with something along the lines of having a parent who's abusive or having a parent who has substance use disorder or having parents that go through a really bad divorce or having a parent who's incarcerated. And when these adverse childhood experiences really kind of mount up on kids, when they go forward in life, then, like I said, they're much more susceptible to different types of health disorders, to heart attacks, to diabetes, to cancer, to developing substance use disorder. And it's really one of those things that if we really understood that as a community and really tried to prevent that from happening, I think we'd have a lot more people growing up that if they had these adverse childhood experiences, one, if they were prevented, would be the best. But if they do have them, that they would be addressed in their teenage years. So you wouldn't have people that would actually come into the criminal justice system. There was a study that was done in New Hampshire that looked at their jail population, and they found out that 73% of the people in Hillsborough County Jail in New Hampshire had adverse childhood experiences on a scale of 1 to 10 of 4 or higher. And so if you could get that number down for individuals, then it would, I think, in the long run, be that sort of prevention that you would really need to really make a significant change as a community and see a very big decrease in the people that come and become involved with the criminal justice system.
Yeah, totally agree.
Okay.
Once again, you listen to us at NSF Fatherhood, or you can go listen to us, find out more information about what we're trying to do at nsfatherhood.org. Here with Brother Alfred today, who is our main host, and I'm going to get out the way. Thank you for the talk. I am Brother Kofi, and we're here talking about issues. Thanks if you're just joining us right now. We're talking to Jonathan, a brother who is up in Maine as a DA, and he's given us some information on how we can help with things, and look at preventing some of this stuff that's happening, as well as many other issues. Sounds like Brother Alfred is back with us, so I'm going to get out the way. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's Brother Kofi. Now, remember, every Saturday, everybody, every Saturday at 12 o'clock, we are having a friendly father show every Saturday with Brother Kofi. He will talk a lot of subjects, a broad-minded individual. He's a professor, a teacher. He is definitely know his history. He knows his statistics. And definitely want to tune in every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Now, everybody just want to get into a little bit of something right now. And before we continue on to the next part, we always say, it's always in the house. So keep it real and 100 every time. And listen, I want you to know, tune in. We have a list of new shows coming soon. We will have other guest hosts, and we will be advocating for more support. Remember, also go to nsf.org and click on that Support the Legal Fund program. All right? Every time you donate, you're helping a father fight his legal issues, able to sustain himself so that he can be a better father. We need you to tune in every week. Also, if you do not have like regular wave site, you can also listen to us on YouTube. We broadcast them every once or twice a month on YouTube as well as RSS Radio. So please tune in. And if you have any questions about the radio station or anything, please contact us at 1-800-903-2096. Once again, that is 1-800-903-2096. We appreciate your time and your support. We're trying to do something positive. Let's change the world one person at a time. Thank you very much. All right, Brother John, let's get into the next part. We wanted to ask you, so since you've been in the field of, for some time now, I would like to get into the next part aspect. When you're dealing, with criminals on a vast amount of subjects, what do you do to relieve the stress of your day to day?
My thing is, I'm very lucky to be married to a fantastic woman, and we have a son who's about 4 years old, and spending time with them is something that I value in the morning and in the evenings, and something that I do on the weekends as much as I can, because I just think that family is one of those things that can keep people grounded and keep things in perspective. But it's something that you really, when you're dealing with a job like mine, it's something that's important. But then again, everybody doing a job out there and dealing with the things that come upon in life is difficult. So taking care of yourself, keeping yourself in a good mental state, and getting exercise. I think those are all really important things that you have to, that everybody should be doing for themselves and their families.
Well, you know what? I'll just definitely, you sound like a good man, and I appreciate you giving us this time. I appreciate you giving us this energy because, you know, a lot of our people that are clients or our supporters that listen to the NSF radio and programs, you know, a lot of them are not informed properly on law or, you know, criminal law, what is right, what is wrong. And a lot of times they don't even know how to balance the stress of the day-to-day with the stress of being a father or you know, and dealing with those issues. So it's like turning butter when it's soft in the beginning, and then the more you keep turning the butter, it becomes hard, and then it formates into butter. And what we want to do is we don't want it to form into a butter. We want it to stay smooth and creamy all the time. You know, and to deal with these issues on a constant basis, especially with a high position that you are in, is very vital that we constantly learn. Because believe it or not, you're an elder to the younger generation that's underneath you that might aspire to be a lawyer or be a district attorney. And, you know, and a good example is in front of you, then you're going to impact the next generation. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the big things that I see my role in is really educating people about not just the criminal justice system, but about things that, like I was talking to with Brother Kofi, with what we can do to prevent people from coming into the criminal justice system, how we can take that sort of preemptive step to really make it so our society really kind of upholds what we want to see happen and support everybody in our communities so that everybody can get that support. Because to me, people don't come into the criminal justice system until other things have failed, until other systems that are in place haven't done what their role is being done, and then it's left to law enforcement, it's left to prosecutors to sort of pick up those pieces, and that really shouldn't be our job. We don't want to save people after they fall off the waterfall. We want to go upriver and prevent them from falling into the stream. That's the goal. That's what we should be doing as a community, stepping up to really making sure that they don't come in. Because like I always tell people, yeah, you can glue Humpty Dumpty together again, but it's a lot better. It's a lot easier to have them not fall off that wall in the first place. Because even if you glue them together again, he's still not going to be the same as he was before he fell off that wall. So let's get him to stay up on that wall. Let's try to make it so he doesn't fall down. Let's support him together. So if he does fall, that we're all there to pick him up.
Right. So, you know, that's why I'm just like right now, I want to say this to everybody. I say this to everybody constantly. What I want you to do is please support the NSF radio program. Be productive in your community. Volunteer your time. Now, just so you're not in this man's office on the other side of the table, here's some things that we can do. When you're dealing with exercising your rights with the police department or any authority, it's very vital to know your Constitution. Study it. And get yourself a book. I have a book called U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence. It has all the amendments all in it. I suggest get that book if you have your chance to do it. It also has the Articles of Confederation and the Bill of Rights amendments. All right? So please, get that into you. Study it. Don't just shout out because you seen Black Panther movie, and you were talking about you're supposed to have a badge number. Some states, some locations, it might not seem right to you, do not carry badge numbers. Just give out the name. Do not be a person in a toxic situation. very important that we participate in a positive situation, what is going on. You know, we must be informed. We should know our First Amendment. We should know our Second Amendment. We should know our five major amendments that is out of the Constitution before we deal with anything or we grow up or in a society where the laws are constantly changing. You know, we need to be on a constant information flux. Stay tuned. The laws of the Constitution, and I'm sure Brother Johnson, he can tell you that he's got to constantly check because new tort laws come out. You know what I'm saying? On a constant basis. So we should be informing ourselves on that basis with that situation. It's about that time almost, but what we're going to do right now, we're just going to let you know that, please, we're going to give it to Brother Coopy. Brother Coopy, what are you going to be talking about this Saturday? What is your subject for on this Saturday show?
Well, on Saturday, we'll be talking about a few different things. Number one, let me once again thank the guest for being on and giving us his time. We appreciate it. A lot of great knowledge, a lot of great things that we have. We probably could have talked for so much longer about so many different things. And I hope at some point, possibly, we can exchange some information and have some further conversation. I definitely want to let you guys know that every Saturday, besides what we do here on Thursday with Brother Alfred, he's allowed me the opportunity every Saturday to be able to do a radio show. And so we come on Saturdays to be able to talk about different things happening in the world from the perspective of a black father. And this weekend, we'll probably talk about a few different things. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but there are some things that have happened as far as with Donald Trump lately or whatever, just with the country. I try to tell people all the time, don't worry about Donald Trump per se, because he's just the president. The president doesn't make all the moves that you think they do, especially on local levels. That's why we have brothers like this here today who can talk about the fact that he had to be voted in, you know, on a local level. He had to be allowed to be able to speak to and talk about some of the things that he's, speaking on. And we allow that as a community. So, but one of the things we're going to talk about is some of the stuff regarding masks, some of the things regarding sickness, some of the things regarding relationships, because as the brother was talking about today, Brother Jonathan was talking about today, that when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our home, if our homes are not correct, that can be a huge issue and a huge reason why our life might not be going the way that we would like it to go. So we'll talk about some of those things. I also would like to take time out to, make it a point even to talk about what is it that we even should be as a father? What is it that we're looking for as far as our children? What is it that our children are looking for us? And in the midst of all the stuff that's going on with the pandemic, a lot of people look at this crisis as an opportunity. And when we take advantage of that opportunity to be able to ensure that our children don't have to go through some of the stuff that we've gone through. They don't have to go through some of the heartache or even cause some of the heartache we might have because of doing things that were not correct legally or not knowing our rights. So that's just a little bit of what we'll be talking about, and we hope that you tune in. It'll be at 12 o'clock p.m. New York time, Eastern time, or Standard Eastern time, depending on how you look at time. And I look forward to coming in front of you and helping us to continue at NSF Fatherhood to do great things.
Okay, that's where we're going to go. But we're going to take a little break here and listen a little bit of our theme song. And I'm working on it right now. And Brother Johnson, I appreciate you coming in.
Garden, you made for me through all of the
All right. We're back here live. We wanted to let you know that we are having some problems, some issues right now. Been having technical issues due to the coronavirus. That we are there's been an upkeep or uprising of internet usage. So because of that, we are getting drop calls and signals not that strong. So we want to apologize in advance, but we are doing our best to try to boost the signal up as much as possible, and we do apologize with that. But you have any questions about the show, you can always broadcast it or listen to it later as well. So with that being said, Brother Cooley, I appreciate your time, your patience, brother, and your show. I can't wait to hear it, man. I'm telling you, I'm revved up. I think I took an energy bull just so I can get in tune into it about 5 or 6 times. I'll listen to 8 times probably. So just to let you know, we're supporting you here. We love you, brother. And please, let people know. You have anything you want to talk to Brother Kubi about, you can email him at pr.market@nsfatherhood.org. That's pr.market@nsfatherhood.org. And you can get a direct email directly to him, and you ask him any question you need, whether it's about the radio show, casting, or anything like that. Please give him a call. Also, tune into his Facebook shows as well as his podcast. Please, this man is a professor, he's a teacher, he's a good guy, and he's a good brother, and he had a good heart. So please, support this brother today. Tune in, be part of it. Remember, Saturday, 12 o'clock, all right, 1 hour show. And if you have any questions, don't forget to call us, or if you want to be a client, please call us at 1-800-93-2096, and my extension is 1. If you want the radio station, is 2. All right, and if you have any other questions, you press 0, and someone will be glad to talk to you. We also have live chat on the website, so come on in, ask your questions, and you get a live operator ready to answer any questions about the programs that we are pushing. Thank you for your time, your patience, and you know what? As we say, always be a proud and work yourself up, but don't work yourself too hard that you fall on the floor. All right, Brother Kubi.
All right, sir. Have a good one.
Brother Kubi, did you hear me?
Yeah,
oh, okay,
I hear
you. Bro. I want to say thank you, bro.
Thank you.
Once again, we apologize any technical difficulties that came along. We are working on it, and we appreciate your time and patience, brother.
Amen. Heaven bless him.
All right, Juan, let's close this out.